The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, starting with verses 21 through 24. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 21. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Pray with me. Father, bless us now as we come and as we earnestly seek to understand what you have said and how this truth applies to our lives. Be glorified, O God, in our love for you. Be glorified in our hunger and our thirst for your righteousness and for your truth. And may each of us find ourselves truly satisfied by you, satisfied by your love, satisfied by your word, satisfied by your spirit and your good plans that you have for us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in 7th grade and graduating from 7th grade, they had the idea to give us labels. The superlatives was the idea. And so you had the most artistic, and I wasn't that. You had the most likely to succeed, and I wasn't that. And they went clear around, and it was as if they ran out of buttons to give everybody, and they sat and they figured, well, what are we going to say about this guy? And I think they just took the dictionary and kind of did that like Bible roulette, only dictionary roulette, and said, eh. And I actually got a button that said the most versatile. I don't know where they came up with that title for me, the most versatile. I think that's all they had left. If you consider your life and wonder, what would my button be? What would my label be? What would my sign be? What would be placed on me? Imagine walking through downtown Beaver Falls and looking around that there was actually a sign flashing over people as they walked along. Each of us probably go ahead and put a sign on each person that we see as we drive through downtown anyway. The people seem to be somewhat easy to label around there, what they're about, what they do, or what we would imagine they do. In your own life, what would be the label? What would be the sign that you would think would flash over your head? And working in the jail system, so many of the people, and maybe even just about all of them, are covered with tattoos all over. They have the labels that they have put on themselves. There's a person that works in New Galilee at the one-stop shop there. They actually have a tattoo that says failure. I've looked at that tattoo, and I've wondered about that tattoo. And I think if I'm ever in there and nobody else is around, I'm going to ask them, is that a self-designation? Is that a commentary on mankind as a whole? Or is that something else? Why does your sign say failure? Well, we look this morning and we see what is taking place in Jesus' life. We see the perfect child that has been brought into the world. And we see him being brought through what to us might seem like a bizarre system. In a bizarre ceremony, coming through circumcision, why is this taking place in his life? In one of my own children's lives, when it came time for that, I said, well, I guess I'll go with him. I went with him, and I sat next to him, and I held his hand as he went through this ceremony as it was taking place. We look and see then these animals are going to be taken. A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons are about to be killed. Why is this taking place? We see also that after the 8 days, A label was placed upon him. A name had been given. We see that it is the name Jesus that has been placed on him. Why? Why is this label placed on him? And does it apply to you? Does it apply to your label? Does it apply to your sign? Well, we look and see this name Jesus that we were told in Matthew 1:21 that this name was going to be given to him because he would save his people from their sins, was the announcement. Jesus. I remember having first been saved and reading that and it not making any sense. Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. How does that make any sense? It's just as difficult as reading through the Old Covenant. And he named them Simeon, because. He named them Levi, because. He named them this, because. Well, if we fall back and we take a look at the name Jesus, it's from the Hebrew Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. The covenant God rescues. You will name him the covenant God rescues, because he will save his people from their sins. So all of a sudden, this label that is placed on him, if Jesus then was walking through the streets, and if there was a sign over him, and that was his name, Yahweh saves, as he walks through the street. Yahweh saves is above him. When he goes and he begins his ministry, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, his sign flashes, Yahweh saves. As he goes to the woman at the well, says, the Father is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. The name flashes, Yahweh saves. As he speaks, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The sign flashes, Yahweh saves. In your life, what is your sign? Are you his? Are you one of those, his people, that have been saved? And maybe even your sign itself flashes, Jesus. Yahweh saves because he has saved his people from their sins. And as we look at what is taking place here, we see a perfect life happening. A perfect life being executed is a way the scripture may say it, or our standards may say it. So the call for us this morning is for you to pursue your own perfection, trusting in his. Pursue your own perfection, trusting in his. Our first step, number one, is make your sign more and more true. That is, the reality that has been placed upon you, live that reality that Yahweh saves. Luke 2:21, and when the 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This sign that is placed upon you, that had been Christ's sign, that Yahweh has saved, this rescue, what is it from? What is it from? We have the idea, I remember we're teaching little kids, and we asked, somebody said something about salvation. And I asked one of the children, what does that mean? And the child answered, God saves our sins. And I had to ask, what does that mean? God saves our sins. It sounds like he takes our sins, puts them in a Tupperware container, burps it shut, and puts them in the freezer. He saves our sins. It is not the idea. In what sense are you saved? In what sense are you saved from your sin? We saw in Psalm 32 this morning the idea that we know when we hold on to our sin and we do not confess them, it's as if his hand is heavy upon us. through this life. We feel it. We feel it. Think of the burden then if you walk through this life with that hand pressing. 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 Until we are pressed down into our deathbed. We feel the hand pressing. Will you enter eternity like that? With the hand pressing in that moment? How many people in this life face that fear in their last moments? My whole life, I have felt this hand pressing. And now I go to the owner of that hand. And what will be then? We see Christ living in Genesis 17, 10 through 12. This perfect life, God says in Genesis 17, "This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you." Take that in for a second. God saying, this is the arrangement you'll keep between me and you. There's some weight to that moment. There is weight to that statement. This is our arrangement. In Romans 4:11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal." What are we talking about when we say a seal? You look at your driver's license, there's a seal. It says, this is what it is. This is real. This is true. You take on the sign of, you took the sign of circumcision. It was a sign. Think of it that way. A sign that says, there's a deal. God has made an arrangement. He said, between me and you. Feel the weight of that. In Colossians 2:11 and 12, "And in him," that is in Christ, "you were circumcised with a circumcision made," and we'll take our hands off of it, "without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So the sign has changed, right? The sign has been changed. It's not the sign of circumcision that says, this is the deal between me and you. Now it's the baptism. He says, now this sign between me and you. Now what does this sign do? Or what do we live out in this sign? Romans 6:4. "Therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." So this is the change for us. That you were dead in your transgression, in your sin, now rescued from your sin. We will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Rescued now from the dead to walk in newness of life. We were the valley of dry bones. We were the valley of dry bones. A voice came and prophesied, spoke the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brought together, made alive, stood up, breath, wind breathed into you, making you an exceedingly great army, is the reality of our baptism and our salvation. Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." In Romans 6:11, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." The removal of the flesh, given new heart, made alive with new signs over you. This is who we are being made into. This is being in Christ Jesus. So our second step, trust Christ's purity. That is, you don't rely on your own righteousness. That is, we don't see ourselves as those people who have accomplished righteousness in ourselves. We are not in that place. but we see what Christ has done. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. Now, it's interesting that this keeps getting placed in here, before he was conceived in the womb. Why is this said again? Why was it that when the angel appeared to Mary and tells her what's going to happen, she says, how can this be? Because I'm a virgin. How could this happen is the question. Then, so we don't imagine that something else had happened between them that would cause her to naturally become pregnant, it's placed in again, before he was conceived in the womb. Romans 5:12 gives us this description of the guilt that is on us, and it's the guilt that Jesus had been freed from because it was the Holy Spirit. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. So it's distributed. My children are sinners. Why? Because I was a sinner. Because I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. My dad was a sinner. His dad was a sinner. And his dad was a sinner. And we will trace that all the way back to Noah. We will trace that then all the way back to Adam. Death came into the world. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. We see the work that was done bringing Christ into the world, being truly a son of Mary, but being kept pure. In Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child, that is this child set apart, shall be called the Son of God. In Hebrews 7:26, for it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. So this place where our trust goes and our joy goes into this perfection of Christ Jesus. Can you love something pure? Can you love something pure? Barb had a heart-wrenching experience this past week. She sold her blue truck. Hemi is gone. Her great, big, beautiful blue truck is gone. And she described that when the man was looking at it, he was so excited. And he's looking at it and he said, I'm going to take it home and I'm going to wash it. I'm going to take it home and I'm going to wax it. And he's going on about how beautiful and how pretty he is going to make this thing. He's going to love it. It's going to shine for this man. And he is going to rejoice and he is going to exalt in it. Yesterday, we got to watch Ellie and we got to go visit my parents with this beautiful little baby. And it was delightful. And even the people who pretend not to like babies wanted to make Ellie smile and laugh. We love things that we can imagine are pure. We love things that we can imagine are innocent. You didn't have to imagine it with Jesus. You don't have to imagine it with Jesus. He actually is pure. He actually is undefiled. He actually is separated from sinners. He actually is innocent and holy, exalted above the heavens. That's the beauty that we can actually love. And that is where our trust actually is, because he is. That perfection has been accepted by the Father, his purity. Our next step is trust Christ's works. Now, that sounds a little funny, trust Christ's works. None of us say that. I never say to my kids, trust my works. I never say to my kids, I never even reference my works. I never say, how were your works today? What are our works? If I ask my kids, how were your works today? They might wonder, am I talking about their school? Am I talking about their chores? I'm talking about the stuff they did. No, we don't rely on our works, Ephesians tells us. No one's saved based on their own works. That is, no one's saved based on the stuff they did. What's wonderful for us, and the good news for us is, We can trust what Jesus did. We can trust his works, what he has done. We see that he has kept the law perfectly. Luke 2, 21 through 24. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification, according to the laws of Moses, were completed. See, there's a lot of law. There's a lot going on here. Those of us who have had children, we know it was hard enough, wasn't it? Without having to do 8 days of purification, without having to make a trip to the temple and sacrifice the doves and go through all of this. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord. Here we go. The law, the law, the law, the law. Every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Some of us might imagine that we keep the law. A pastor friend of mine is preaching through, or had been preaching through, the Ten Commandments. And he went through and he displayed the burden even in counting God's name as holy or not taking the Lord's name in vain. And he does an excellent job of unpacking all of the ways in which we might not count the Lord's name as holy, or we may use it in vain. And he tried to do that for the congregation so the congregation could see, okay, I really got to rely on the gospel. I've really got to rely on the gospel. His name is to be counted as holy, and I fall short. And one man was coming through, and he said, I'm really glad you preached that. I know there's some people here that need to hear that. And my pastor friend said, well, if you'll remember, look, we're all guilty. And the guy just shook his head and said, I don't take the Lord's name in vain, and walked away. And my pastor friend said, I failed. I failed. Well, the thing is, we fail. Preachers, yeah. Hearers, yeah. And we look and see that as we continue to fail, Christ's righteousness is continued to be imputed to us. Yahweh saves, right? Yahweh saves. It is the rescue that has been placed upon us. Christ did all of the perfect works. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, and think of that as the lifeblood of Christ, poured out. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So all of the stuff that you would do to try to earn your salvation, all of the things that you would try to do to keep your salvation, they're dead works. They're dead works. Stuff that will not save. Stuff that will not rescue. But we rely on his perfection, that he actually pulled it off. I don't care what you're into. Think of something that you love to do, and you would love to be perfect at it. How about when you get to see somebody else execute something perfectly? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We have a family here, their daughter clogs. All right? They watched that. I had a proud papa show me a video. Look at my little girl clog. Watch this on the edge of perfection, what she is able to do. If you love sports, if there's a move that you would love to be able to do, in education, if there's something that you love to do, some of us who preach, some of us who teach, a statement brought across just perfect. It's beautiful. We think, I would love to be able to do that. To see a father love beautifully. A mother love beautifully. All of those things that we would love to execute and we can rejoice in seeing it done perfectly. Can you step back and take a look and look at Jesus and say, wow, wow, look at someone love the Father perfectly. Look at someone love everyone around him perfectly and say, wow. And remember that that's where your trust is. Not in your own dead works, but in his great works. And our sign flashes, Yahweh saves. Our next step is rely on that perfect sacrifice. Rely on that perfect sacrifice. And when the 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Flashing back again to Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This took place because he was pure, right? He was pure. He was untouched by the original sin as you and I are touched with it. As we come into this world rotten to the core, there's no part of us that's not touched by our sin. Sometimes it's called total depravity. He comes without that, having been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, being innocent. He comes. He walks that perfect walk, loving the Father perfectly, loving everyone around perfectly. He pulls it off. And then he goes, and in the office of priest, he gives himself up. Gives himself as that sacrifice because the wages of sin is, and everybody's mind says death, but hopefully it's not just a restatement. Hopefully our minds see that burden of death. We're starting to see that we've, for a month or a few now, we've seen those possums, right, that have stumbled out, they quit hibernating, they've stumbled out across the road. They're that picture of death, and they're starting to stink now. Death, the wages of sin, it's that destruction. It's that grinding. It's described in Revelation as the treading of the wine press. Those were the feet stomping grapes, squishing the juice out. The treading of the wine press of the wrath of God Almighty. Described, as we saw in Hebrews, the blood of Christ. And I've stated it a few times. That's the life blood of Christ. There's an old song that's really no good, because it says one drop of blood would have been enough to save the world. Imagine that there was some magical element to Jesus' blood that would save the world. That's not it. Life blood, the essential blood poured out, is the reality. He saves his people from the consequences, the wages of sin, saves them from death, by dying himself. Yahweh saves. When you hear Jesus, hear Yahweh saves. When you face your own sin, remember Yahweh saves. I am rescued by the covenant God. When we go into this world and when we face other sinners, remember, Yahweh saves. The rescue, whatever title you see on the people, drug dealer, prostitute, no good, bum. Remember, you were not saved by your works. Your works were dead works, deserving of that death. But Yahweh saves. Again, Hebrews 9:14. How much more Well, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, take in the ugly. You have to take in the ugly with that. He offered himself without blemish. That is beautiful. He went beautiful, perfect, worthy of awe, admiration, worship, and praise. He went perfect, undefiled, offered himself to God to cleanse your conscience from dead works, to, for this purpose for you, to serve the living God. This is what has been accomplished. Hebrews 7, 26 and 27. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. Because he did once for all when he offered up himself. What is your sign? Are you like that girl at the one-stop shop? Does your sign say failure? Is that what you imagine? What is your sign? Is it loser? Is it weakling? Is it fool? What is your sign? Where does your identity lie? I submit to you that if you are in Christ, if you know that Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, that he was raised on the third day, and that you trust in that, your sign flashes, Yahweh saves. You are a picture of rescue. You are a picture of salvation. So in this life, and continuously in this life, we trust in Christ's perfection. Believing that sign, Yahweh saves. And we live continuously to make that truth known to ourselves, to our households, to our neighbors, that Christ will receive the honor and the glory that he deserves, as he has now been exalted above the heavens. Pray with me. Oh God, our God, we exalt in you and we exalt in your righteousness and the wonders that you have done in giving your Son. Lord, help us now to throw away the signs that say failure, loser, weakling, or fool, and to proclaim with one voice that Yahweh saves. May that be the message to our hearts and in the midst of our fears. May that be the message in our homes and to our neighbors, that you will be most glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.